So One day, Said. Then, man, he kept getting drunker and drunker, and he had it down to me. He had designed a mechanical woman who could give a man a better fuck than any woman created throughout the centuries. Plus, no kotex, no shit, no arguments. I've been looking, I said, for a woman like that all my life. Tony laughed. Every man has. I thought he was crazy. Of course. Till one night after closing, I went down to his room and house with him, and he took the fuck machine out of the red trunk. And it was like going to heaven before you died. Let me guess the rest, I asked Tony. Guess. Von Braschlitz and his fuck machine are upstairs at your place right now. Uh-huh, said Tony. How much? $20 a piece. $20 to fuck a machine? He's outdone whatever created us, you'll see. Petey the Owl will blow me for a buck. Petey the Owl's okay, but he ain't no invention that beats the gods. I shoved over my 20. So help me, Tony, if this is some kind of crazy hot weather gag, you lost your best customer. Like you said earlier, we're all crazy anyhow. It's up to you. Right, I said. Right, said Indian Mike. Here's my 20. I only get 50%. You gotta understand, the rest goes to Von Braschlitz. $500 pension ain't much with inflation and taxes, and Von B. drinks schnapps like crazy. Let's make it, I said. You got 40 bucks. Where's this immortal fuck machine? Tony lifted a partition of the bar and said, come through here. Take the stairway to the back rear. Just go up there. Knock. Say Tony sent us. Any door number? Door number 69. Oh, hell yes, I said. What else? Oh, hell yes, said Tony. Get your balls. We found the stairway. Walked up. Tony will do anything for a gag, I said. We walked along, and there it was. Door number 69. I knocked. Tony sent us. Ah, do come in, gentlemen. Here was this old horny-looking freak. Glass of schnapps in his hand, double-lens glasses, just like the old-time movies. He appeared to be having a visitor, a young thing, almost too young, looking flimsy and strong at the same time. She crossed her legs, flashing all the bit, nylon knees, nylon thighs, just that tiny part there where the long stockings ended and just that touch of flesh began. She was all ass and breast, nylon legs, clean blue laughing eyes. Gentlemen, my daughter, Tanya. What? Ah, yes, I know. I am so old. But like the myth of the black man with the ever-huge cock, there is also the myth of the dirty old Germans who never stop fucking. You may believe what you wish to. This is my daughter, Tanya. Anyhow. Hello, boys, she laughed. Then we all looked toward the door, which was labeled Fuck Machine Storage Room. He finished off his schnapps. And so, you boys come over here for the best fuck ever, yeah? Daddy, said Tanya, must you always be so crude? Tanya recrossed her legs, higher this time. I almost came. Then the professor finished another schnapps, then got up and walked over to the door labeled Fuck Machine Storage Room. He turned and smiled at us, then very slowly opened the door. He walked on in and came out rolling this thing on what looked like a hospital bed on wheels. It was naked, a clot of metal. The professor rolled the damn thing right out in front of us, then began humming some rotten song, probably something from the German. A clot of metal with this hole in the center. The professor had an oil can in his hand, poked it into the hole and began punching in quite a quantity of this oil, meanwhile humming this insane German song. He kept punching the oil in, then looked back over his shoulder and said, nice, yeah? Then he went back to work, pumping in the oil. Indian Mike looked at me, tried to laugh, said, God damn, we've been taken again. Yeah, I said, it seems like it's been 5 years since I've been laid, but I'll be damned if I'll stick my cock into that mound of hard lead. Von Proschlitz laughed, walked over to his liquor cabinet, found another fifth of schnapps, poured a goodie, sat down facing us. As we in Germany began knowing that the war was lost and the net began to tighten down to the final battle of Berlin, we knew that the war had taken on a new essence. The real war then became who was to grab the most German scientists. If Russia got the most German scientists or America, those were the ones who were going to get to the moon first, Mars first, anything first. Well, I don't know how it really came out, numerically or in terms of scientific brain power. I only know that the Americans got to me first, snapped me up, took me away in a car, gave me a drink, put pistols to my head, made promises, talked madly. I signed everything. All right, I said, so much for history. I'm still not gonna stick my dick, my poor little dick, into that hunk of sheet metal or whatever it is. Hitler must have really been a madman to nursemaid you. I wish the Russians had gotten to your ass first. I want my 20 bucks back. Von Braschlitz laughed. Hee 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 hee. It is just my little joke, Nine. Hee 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 hee. He shoved that mound of lead back into the closet, slammed the door. Oh, hee 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 hee. Add a bit more schnapps. Von Braschlitz poured another schnapps. He really put him down. Gentlemen, I am an artist and an inventor. My fuck machine is really my daughter, Tanya. More little jokes, Von Braschlitz, I asked. Joke nothing. Tanya, go over and sit in the gentleman's lap. Tanya laughed, got up, walked over, and sat in my lap. A fuck machine. I couldn't believe it. Her skin was skin, or so it seemed, and her tongue, as it worked into my mouth as we kissed, it was not mechanical. Each movement was different, responded to my own. I was busy at it, ripping her blouse from her breast, working at her panties, hotter than I'd been in years. And then we were tangled. We somehow got to standing. I took her standing up, my hands ripping at her long blonde hair, bending her head back, then reaching down, spreading her asshole as I pumped. She came. I could feel the throbbing, and I joined. It was the best fuck I had ever had. Tanya went to the bathroom, cleaned up and showered, dressed up again for Indian Mike, I guess.
Mom's greatest invention,
von Braschlett said quite seriously, and he was quite right. Then Tanya came out and sat on my lap.
No, no, Tanya, it's the other man's turn. You just finished fucking that one.
She didn't seem to hear, and it was strange, even for a fuck machine, because really I had never been a very good lover.
Do you love me?
She asked. Well, yeah.
I love you, and I'm so happy, and I'm not supposed to be alive. You know that, don't you?
I love you, Tanya. That's all that I know.
God damn it!
Screamed the old man.
This fucking machine!
He walked over to his varnished box with the word Tanya printed on the side. There were these little wires sprouting out of it. There were dials and needles that quivered in many colors, lights that blinked on and off, things that ticked. Von Braschlett was the craziest pimp I had ever met. He kept playing with the dials. Then he looked at Tanya.
25 years! Damn near a lifetime to build you! I even had to hide you from Hitler! And now you try to turn into a mere ordinary bitch.
I'm not 25, said Tanya. I'm 24.
You see, just like a common bitch.
He went back to his diet. You put on a different shade of lipstick, I said to Tanya.
You like it?
Oh, yeah. She leaned over and kissed me. Von Braschlett kept playing with his dials. I felt that he would win. Von Braschlett turned to Indian Mike.
It's just a minor kink in the machine. Trust me, I'll get it straight in a minute, yeah?
I hope so, said Indian Mike. I got 14 inches waiting and 20 bucks down.
I love you,
Tanya told me.
I will never fuck any other man. If I can't have you, I won't have anybody.
I'll forgive you, Tanya, for anything that you do. The professor was getting pissed. He kept turning the dials, but nothing was happening.
Tanya! It is time for you to fuck the other man. I am getting tired. Must have a bit of schnapps. Be off to sleep. Tanya.
Ah, said Tanya, you rotten old fuck. You and your schnapps. And then nibbling at my tits all night so I can't even sleep. While you can't even raise a decent hard. You're disgusting.
Was? I said you can't even raise a decent hard.
You, Tanya, will pay for this. You are my creation. I am not yours. He kept turning his magic knobs. I mean, on the machine. He was quite angry, and you could see that. Somehow, the anger gave him a vital brilliance beyond himself. Just wait, Mike.
All I have to do is adjust the electronics. Wait, a short. I see it.
Then he leaped up. This guy they'd saved from the Russians. He looked at Indian Mike.
It's straight now. The machine is in order. Have fun.
Then he walked over to his schnapps bottle, poured another goodie, sat down to watch. Tanya got off of my lap and walked over to Indian Mike. I watched Tanya and Indian Mike embrace. Tanya worked Indian Mike's zipper down, got his cock out. Man, he had plenty of cock. He'd said 14 inches, but it looked more like 20. Then Tanya put both her hands around Mike's cock. He moaned in glory. Then she ripped the whole cock right out and right out of and off of his body, threw it to the side. I saw the thing roll along the rug like an insane sausage, dribbling little sad trailets of blood. It rolled up against a wall. Then it stayed there like something with a head but no legs and no place to go, which was true enough. Next, here came the balls flying through the air, a heavy looping sight. They simply landed upon the center of the rug and didn't know what to do but bleed. So they bled. Von Braschlett, the hero of the American-Russian invasion, took a hard look at what was left of Indian Mike, my old beer-drinking buddy, very red on the floor, flowing from the center. Von Braschlett took the high road down the stairway.
room 69 had done everything but that. And then I asked her, Tanya, the heat will be here very quickly. Shall we dedicate the room number to our love?
Of course, my love.
We made it, just in time, and the stupid heat ran in. One of the learned then pronounced Indian Mike dead, and since von Braschlitz was a kind of U.S. government product, there was a hell of a lot of people around. Various chicken shit officials, firemen, reporters, the cops, the inventor, the CIA, the FBI, and various other forms of human shit. Tanya came over and sat in my lap.
They'll kill me now. Please try not to be sad.
I didn't answer. Then von Braschlitz was screaming, pointing to Tanya.
I tell you, gentlemen, she has no feeling. I saved the damn thing from Hitler. I tell you, it is nothing but a machine.
They all just stood there. Nobody believed von Braschlitz. It was simply the most beautiful machine and so-called woman they had ever seen.
Oh, shit, you idiots. Every woman is a fucking machine. Can't you see that? They play for the highest bidder. There is no such thing as love. That is a fairy tale mirage like Christmas.
They still wouldn't believe.
This is only a machine. Have no fear. Watch.
Von Braschlitz grabbed one of Tanya's arms, ripped it completely off of her body. Inside the hole of her shoulder, you could see it. There was nothing but wire and tubes, coiled and running things, plus some minor substance that faintly resembled blood. I saw Tanya standing there with this coil of wire hanging from her shoulder where the arm used to be. She looked at me.
Please, for me too. I asked you to try not to be too sad.
I watched as they ganged her and ripped and raped and tore. I couldn't help it. I put my head down between my legs and cried. Also, Indian Mike never got his 20 bucks worth. Some months went by. I never went back to the bar. There was a trial, but the government exonerated von Braschlitz and his machine. I moved to another town, far away. One day, sitting in a barbershop, I picked up this sex mag. Here was an ad. Blow up your own little dolly. $29.95. Resistant rubber material. Very durable. Chains and whips included in package. Bikini. Bras. Panties. Two wigs. Lipstick. Small jar of love potion included. Von Braschlitz Company. I sent him a money order. Some box number in Massachusetts. He had moved too. The package arrived in about 3 weeks. Very embarrassing. I didn't have a bicycle pump. Then I got the hots when I took the thing out of the package. I had to go down to the corner gas station and use the air hose. It looked better as it blew up. Big tits. Big ass. What you got there, pal? The gas station man asked me. Look, man, I'm just borrowing a little air. Don't I buy a lot of gas here, huh?
Okay, that's okay. You can have the air. I just damn well can't help wondering what you got there.
Just forget it, I said.
Jesus, look at those tits!
I am looking, asshole. I left him there with his tongue hanging up. Then threw her over my shoulder and made it back to my place. I carried her into the bedroom. The big question was yet to come. I spread the legs and looked for some kind of opening. Von Braschlitz hadn't completely slipped. I climbed on top and began kissing that rubber mouth. Now and then I reached for one of the giant rubber tits and sucked upon it. I had put a yellow wig on her and rubbed the love potion all over my cock. It didn't take much love potion. Maybe he'd sent a year's worth. I kissed her passionately behind the ears, stuck my finger up her ass, kept pumping. Then I leaped off, chained her arms behind her back. There was this little lock and key. Then I whipped her ass good with the leather thongs. God, I gotta be nuts, I thought. Then I flipped her over and put it back in, humped and humped. Frankly, it was rather boring. I imagined male dogs screwing female cats. I imagined two people fucking through the air as they jumped from the Empire State Building. I imagined a pussy as large as an octopus crawling toward me, wet and stinking and aching for an orgasm. I remembered all the panties, knees, legs, tits, pussies I had ever seen. The rubber was sweating. I was sweating. I love you, darling, I whispered into one of her rubber ears. I hate to admit it, but I forced myself to come into that lousy hunk of rubber. It was hardly a Tanya at all. I took a razor blade and cut the thing all to shit, dumped it out with the beer cans. how many men in America bought those stupid things. Or then you can pass 50 fuck machines in a 10-minute walk on almost any main sidewalk of America. The only difference being that they pretended they were human. Poor Indian Mike with that 20-inch dead cock. All the poor Indian Mikes. All the climbers into space. All the whores of Vietnam and Washington. Poor Tanya. Her belly had been a hog's belly. Veins, the veins of a dog. She rarely shattered or pissed. She had just fucked. Heart, voice, tongue, borrowed from others. There were only supposed to be 17 possible organ transplants at that time. Von Brashless was far ahead of them. Poor Tanya, who'd only eaten a little, mostly cheap cheese and raisins. She'd had no desire for money or property or large new cars or over-expensive homes. She had never read the evening paper, had no desire for color TV, new hats, rain boots, back fence conversations with idiot wives, nor had she desired a husband who was a doctor, a stockbroker, a congressman, a cop. And the guy at the gas station keeps asking me, "Hey, what happened to that thing you brought down here one day and blew up with the air hose?" But he don't ask anymore. I buy my gas at a new place. I don't even get my hair cut anymore where I saw that magazine with the Von Braschlitz rubber dolly sex ad. I'm trying to forget everything. What would you do? Alright, I got a bunch of time here I didn't know I was going to have, so I'm going to go get my other book out of the other room. Hold on right now. You're listening to Goodnight Norman. This is your host, Norman Douglas. And you're listening to WGXC, Hudson Community Radio, 90.7 FM on your dial if you got that reception. Otherwise, WGXC.org. 1 minute. I know what book I'm getting. All right, I'm back. This story by Chester Himes. If I can find it. You know, you think you have this stuff all planned out. It's like me and my plans. Man, where is it? Freaking story. One More Way to Die by Chester Himes. Chester Himes wrote for like 40 years and went to Spain where he died in 1984 because things were too racist here. One More Way to Die by Chester Himes in the collected stories of Chester Himes on Thunder's Mouth Press. One More Way to Die. When I got off work at the cannery, I went home and washed... When I got off work at the cannery, I went home and washed the slop off my hands and my face and washed under my arms and then changed from my overalls to a slack suit. I got my money out of the tin can back at the stove where I kept it hid and counted it. I had 18 bucks and some change. I went out and walked up Long Beach to Jose's at the corner of 40th and bought a quart of beer. Jose wiped the bar with a dirty rag. Then wiped the sweat off his face with the same rag and said, "You owe me 35 cents from yesterday." "Pay you manana," I said. "Always manana, manana," he beefed and spit in the sink. "Hey, don't spit in the sink where you wash the glasses," some patty down the bar said. Jose shrugged. "All the same," he said. I beat at the flies and drank my beer. It made me sweat like a son of a gun. The Spanish kid, another patty, took it up. "Spit where you please, Spanish." Jose wiped his face with the dirty rag and gave the patty a sidewise look. There was 3 patties and a couple of Mexicans and 2 other spooks scattered along the bar. Some pachuco kids were ganged about the jukebox talking in Mexican blowing weed. A couple of beat-up colored mamas sat in the window booth waiting for chumps. In the next booth, a big snuff-dipping mama had 2 slaving studs in overalls. and the booth in back had a couple of Mexicans from old Mexico drinking Muscatel. When I finished my second quarter, I had to go. I went out in the alley at the side. Then I went back and I said, give me another quarter. Let's fill up again. Two old beat-up high yellow biddies came in with a big yellow stud called Sweet Wine and went for bad. They sat down beside me and Sweet Wine leaned on my shoulder and said, buy us some beer, Tar Baby. I didn't like the stud and I didn't like to be called Tar Baby. Brown is my name, but I didn't have my blade, so I just said, here, you can have some water I got, shoving him the bottle. He picked it up and drank it dry and set it down. Now, ain't that something, one of the old biddies said to the other. Ain't over you or me a drop. She turned to me. You'll buy us a little beer, won't you, mister? Sweet Wine said, sure, this nigga will buy us a drink. He got everything, working at the cannery, making all that gold. Come on, Tar Baby, set us up. I knew he was looking for trouble. Four wines, I said to Jose. I had to break a five to pay him. The biddy next to me leaned it over and said, come on, let's you and me have some fun. The other old biddy giggled. I said, what's the matter with the fun you already got? That nigga done gone, she said. The other old biddy giggled again. I looked around and sure enough, Sweet Wine had slipped it out. I'd have known that old yellow hag didn't want nobody black as me, but I said, anyway, come on down to my pad. We had no more, got outside by the alley when she grabbed me from behind and Sweet Wine come out the alley and cold cocked me. When I come to, the Pachucos had me halfway up the alley rolling me. I turned over, braced my hands against the ground and pushed to my knees. Then I got to my feet. My jaw felt numb. I fingered it lightly, moved it from side to side to see if it was broke. Then I said to the Pachucos, give me back my dough. One of them laughed, Sweet Wine cleaned you before we turned you loose. He sure clipped you, another said. I fanned myself anyway, just to be sure, but I was bare. Which way they go? I asked. The Pachuco shrugged. I started home to get my blade to look for him and run into a police cruiser down at Vernon. Hey, I called, wait a minute, I've been robbed. The young cop driving backed over to the curb and said, come here, boy. I came over by the car, and he and the other cop, an older man with gray hair and sergeant stripes, looked me up and down. Who robbed you? The young cop asked. A fellow they called Sweet Wine, I said, he and some woman who was with him. Where'd they rob you? Down by the alley right next to Jose's. He sniffed my breath. Drunk, eh? They rolled you, eh? No, sir, I was in Jose's drinking beer and wasn't bothering nobody when they come in and want me to buy him a drink. I bought him a drink just to keep him from having no trouble. Then Sweet Wine, he left it. After a while, me and the woman come out and... Oh, you was with the woman, eh? He cut in. No, sir, I just come out with her. Sweet Wine, he was with her. I just come out on the street with her. Then she grabbed me. He cold-cocked me when I come to. What's your name, boy? He cut in again. Brown, I said. Willie Brown. What do they call you? Well, some calls me Tar Baby, but most just calls me Brown by my name. You ain't the Tar Baby what stabbed that sailor up here a couple nights ago, are you? He asked. No, sir, I ain't been up here a couple nights ago. I work at the cannery, I told him. The sergeant said, I knew a dinge in Kansas City called Ruckus Buckus.
We picked up a boy the other night called White Baby, the young cop said. He was black as my shoe.
They laughed a little. Then the young cop jumped out the car and shook me down. When he didn't find nothing, he said, where's that knife, boy? I don't carry no knife, I said. He got back in the car and started the motor. Sergeant said, you better go home, boy. We'll find Sweet Wine and get your money. How much was it you said he took? About $15. I went home, got my knife, put it in my pocket, went back to Jose's. Sweet Wine and the woman hadn't come back. I walked down Long Beach to the Cove at 36. They weren't there either. I cut across to Ascot, stopped in two or three joints along the way, then turned back out toward Vernon. It was about 11 o'clock when I found them out of the Dewdrop Inn at 51st and Hooper. I saw the old hag sitting at the bar guzzling juice, but I didn't see Sweet Wine. Next to her, some guy was drinking a quart of beer. The bar was filled. All the booze along the wall was filled. There was a lot of people standing around. I went in and picked up the quart bottle the guy had next to her and broke it across her head. She staggered up, snapped open the switchblade, slashed at me. I jumped back, popped open my blade, cut her on the arm. Sweet Wine come from somewhere behind me, hit me across the head with a chair. I fell forward into her, butting her back into jukebox. I went down on my hands and knees, but I turned and crawled between somebody's legs before she got herself set.
People was running all around trying to get out the way so neither of us could get to the other. Sweet Wine got over to one side of me and reached around behind a guy and hit me with a chair again. Somebody kicked me on the side of the face trying to get out the way. I got between somebody's legs and cut Sweet Wine on the leg. I just reached around the fat part of his leg and pulled my shit for it like I was chopping down sugar cane. He kicked me in the mouth. I stabbed him in the thigh. People was running all around out in the street screaming and cussing. Old hag run up and stabbed me in the back. I jumped to my feet and began slashing out right, left, cutting everybody. What people was left run over each other trying to get out the way. I moved around, getting both her and Sweet Wine in front of me. Then I jumped at them, slashed as fast as I could move my arm. I didn't cut neither one of them. Old hag run toward me, slashing back and forth like I was. She ain't cut me neither, but she made me back up. I kept on backing up till I backed into something. I looked around and saw cases of pop bottles stacked against the wall. I slashed at her real fast till she backed up a little. Then I stuck my knife in my pocket and started chunking bottles. First one popped Sweet Wine cool square in the forehead, bust his skin wide open. Next one caught him in the mouth, bust his lips. Woman was running around trying to get behind the bar to chunk some wine bottles. Bartender was trying to stop her. Her arm was bloody where I'd cut her and she bled all over the floor. Sweet Wine turned and tried to run, but his leg was so cut so bad all he could do was hobble. I bust him a couple times in the back, but I was chunking bottles so fast I couldn't see where he was going. Then all of a sudden I heard somebody scream, "You hit me with a bottle!" I looked up and saw an old white woman standing in the door with blood coming out of her head. Everybody knew her. She was an old wino who used to come there every night and get juiced up, lived somewhere close by. But when we saw her standing there with the blood coming out of her head, everybody stopped and just gaped. We quit fighting and just stood there. I was scared maybe I had killed her. And she a white woman, too. She started cussing everybody out, and then the police came. There was two young guys this time. They held all four of us there waiting for the ambulance and the paddy wagon. And they kept gritting their teeth, looking at me.
"This the nigga what hit you, ma'am,"
one of them asked the old white lady, grabbing me by the collar.
"That's the dirty black bastard," she screamed. "Hit me with a pop bottle."
"I didn't go to hit you, lady," I said. "I was scared as hell. I was chunking at you, lady. I was chunking at these people who robbed." The cop drew back and hit me in the mouth.
"Shut up, you black son of a bitch," she said. "God damn you, we killed niggas for hitting white women in Texas."
People was coming back into the joint. They was crowding all about looking at us, but wasn't nobody saying nothing. They just stood there looking black and evil and wondering what the cop was going to do to me. "I didn't go to hit a cap," I said, "honest to God."
"Well, God damn you, black bastard, what you hit it for?"
the other cop asked. "She just happened to come in, Cap. You know I wasn't chunking at no white."
"God damn you, don't you say nothing when you talk back to me," he said.
"Yes, sir."
"If I had you in Texas," the first cop began.
About that time, the ambulance drove up. They put the white woman in on the stretchers, and the other woman sat there in the back on a chair. Then they looked at me and Sweet Wine. They wrapped a string or something around Sweet Wine's leg and drew it tight and said it'd be all right to bring him down to the paddy wagon. When they started looking at me, one of the cops said, "Well, bring this nigga in. He ain't hurt." The other cop said, "Yet." "I stabbed in the back," I began. The first cop hit me in the mouth again. When the paddy wagon came, they put Sweet Wine in it, drove off. Then they took me out to the cruiser, put me in the back seat with one of the cops sitting beside me. "Where y'all taking me to, Cap?" I asked. "Y'all ain't gonna beat me, is you?" "Shut up, you black son of a bitch," the cop said, and hit me across the mouth with his pistol butt. I ain't said no more. They turned up burning along the beach and kept downtown till they came to where the railroad track split off. Then they drove up a dark alley beside a scrap iron foundry, and the cop told me to get out. "Cap'n, you oughtn't to whip me up again. I was hurt, Cap'n. I was been." He grabbed me by the collar and jerked me out on the ground. I lay there just like I fell. Scared to move. The other cop got out and came around the car. One of them shot me. My stomach went hollow. My chest seemed to cave in. I was so scared I couldn't hardly breathe. "Y'all gonna shoot me, are you, Cap?" I begged. One of the cops laughed. "What's he think we doing now?" "This is what we do with niggas in Texas," the other one said. Shot me square through the stomach. "Captain, y'all ain't gonna kill me," I cried. They stood there looking down at me, grinning. One of them spit on me. Then the whole sky began to spin around and around, and telegraph poles along Long Beach began shimmering like they was alive. Then everything began to go away. I kept looking at these two cops, looking at their faces till they were just blurred and white, and I couldn't hardly make them out at all. I was begging them over and over again, "Captain, please don't kill me, please. Captain, I swear I'll never hit another white woman as long as I live, not even by mistake." I knew my lips was moving, but I couldn't even hear my own voice. I heard the first cop say, "Let's get it over with."
Then I heard the sound of the shot and felt the bullet go right through my chest. I couldn't even see nothing at all. Felt myself leaking all inside. It was just like a kettle on the stove began running over. I didn't hurt much. I was just going on away. The last thing I heard was a whole lot of shots real fast, and I could feel all the bullets going through me. They didn't hurt at all, though. It was just like a guy sticking a fork in salt butter, like a guy jabbing an ice pick into a piece of fresh killed meat. The last thing I thought as I lay there on the goddamn ground and died was, it just ain't no goddamn sense in you white folks killing me. That's the inimitable Chester Himes. The hell is the name of that story? I don't even remember. I just read it. Oh, yeah. One More Way to Die by Chester Himes. Himes died in 1984. Obviously, grew up under segregation. Went through all that Communist Party, everything. Then he decided to get the hell out of Dodge. Left the United States. Moved to Europe. Never came back. Made some detective novels, got kind of famous, they turned them into movies. Cotton Comes to Harlem, Rage in Harlem, and one other one I can't remember the name of. Anyways, yeah. Got about 3 minutes left here. So I'd just like to say, I don't know what I want to say. I probably should have something to say, but I really don't. So, test your drugs for fentanyl. Get your strips. I don't know. Some one of those rehab places. Don't ask me. I don't have any. I don't have any Narcan either. But you should have some if you like to go out or stay in and do those kinds of things. That's a public service announcement, I think. I don't know who it was brought to you by. Maybe Demon Dave. Other than that, all I can say is, love yourself, love your brother, love your mother, love your father, love your sister, love your friend, love your ex, love your on, love your in, love your out, love your windows and doors and your feet and speakers and everything that there is to love. Love it. Love Trump, love Biden, love the oil companies and the ozone layer. Love the moon and the stars and the little birdies. And